Okay, good morning again, brethren. Once Heritage Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for the Lord that I'm able to stand in front of you to share God's Word and God's Words. It's important how many of you God has called you, how many of you God has spoken to you through the many messages that you have heard. You may wonder how little we have, or our ability is so minute or so little, you think that God will not use it. And I hope today's message will challenge you. Yield everything to the Lord. A little you have to the Lord, God will make a wonder of you. Okay. You'll be looking at this picture. This call, his name you should know him very well, Elijah. Well, story of Elijah is a fascinating account of power of God in actions. We thrilled when we heard that Elijah was standing tall before King Ahab, the priest of Baal, and even the wayward people of Israel. But how he prayed, and the fire of God fell from heaven. Let me remind all of us, that event, that special day, Israel turned back. Before that, they turned their back on God. God had to use Elijah to bring them back to the Lord. And Elijah challenged 450 priests of Baal to a challenge, right? On Mount Carmel. They prayed, the priest of Baal prayed. They prayed to their God of Baal. Nothing happened. Now comes the turn of Elijah. Elijah prayed. Before he prayed, he said, "You guys can help me." He made the altar. And he said, he prepared all the meat. And then put some firewood. And let's try. Let's drench it with water. 12 barrels of water. People look at him. You must be crazy. You the God. He's drenched. He prayed. Miracle happened. God sent fire from heaven. Even 1 Kings 18:38. The Bible says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." When the people of Israel saw the miracle, the group that goes against God for a period of time, they fell on their faces. They say, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God." This is a display of power of God, for sure, through Elijah. How did Elijah come to that point of great faith that he can call upon the heaven and call upon God? Please do something. He did not happen overnight. He need to be trained. He need to be tested. And now, way before chapter 18, definitely chapter 17, right? And it happened. God wants Elijah to stand in front of Ahab to pronounce a sentence, a divine judgment. 3.5 years, no rain. Queen Jezebel definitely will go after him. And God said, go to a brook. And there, ravens will feed you. And he did that in chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. So, he was trained then. He was tested. Then finally, the Lord called him to a new place. Let's turn to... Okay, don't worry about this. Okay? I don't think I'll need that. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 10. Verse 8 to 16. Verse 8 to 16. Shall we stand for reading of God's word? And after that, we have a word prayer. Chapter 17, verse 8 to verse 16. You read responsively. In the Bible, in verse 8, says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And let's read the verse 16 together. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. And that's a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your love. So grateful for the miracles that thou have done on our lives. Thank you for Heritage Baptist Church. Thank you that I've raised this church to be a light, to be a testimony for you, even in down this area in Singapore. Thou continue to use them mightily, do miracles to them, and then, Lord God, your word will spread across the island of Singapore. Thank you again for this time of sharing, time of learning, time of worshipping. May your words continue to fill us with the gratefulness, the thankfulness in our life, that, Lord God, we can really be a light for thee continuously. Thou bless us this moment as we look into this passage. May your spirit be our teacher. May your spirit search our heart that we can really center our thoughts and our thoughts on your words alone. May your words bring wonders in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your presence. And we pray in the wonderful name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, be seated. Be seated. Today's message, title of today's message is a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and two sticks. That's what this woman has. You know, in verse 10 to verse 12, as you read into it, it's a hopeless situation that she was going through. Verse 10 introduces us a very poor widow. She is truly the focus of this passage, and not Prophet Elijah. Her description shows us how hopeless her situation was. The place of life, Zarephath, widow. No, as a widow, she's already a difficult place in life, right? Definitely difficult. Depending on other people to take care. But in verse 12, we see very clearly that she had little and no more other food other than a handful of meal. It was the place of her life. She is responsible to take care of her son. And worst of all, she was in Zarephath. Zarephath is a Gentile land. In Gentile land, they never take care of widows. They don't have like CPF or like social security. No. They don't have. They just took care of themselves. But if she was a Jewish widow, she would be definitely taken care of. Because in Deuteronomy 15:11 say that, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land." In Zarephath, no connection with the law of God. The woman is in a very bad place. Her problem in life, verse 12, the depth of her poverty. You see, when Elijah asked for a morsel of bread, you know what's a morsel of bread? So a little piece. He isn't asking for a whole loaf. He wasn't asking for a sandwich. He wasn't asking for a small piece. He just asking, give me a piece of bread. The widow replied that she had a handful of meal, a little oil in a cruse. And she said, I'm outside getting 2 cents. You see, she intended to take those things, use them to cook for the last of her food. She's looking for fuel to cook. Finally, in verse 12, very clearly, you can see that the tone of her voice, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a king. By the handful of meal in the barrel, and a little oil in the cruse, before I'm getting 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it." She was desperate. The problem, her plan is so simple. I'm going in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it. They have reached the end of life. Death is the only ending she could see. But hope. Most of us may face situations like her too. Hopeless. If you are not born again Christian, you are not a Christian, your life is definitely a hopeless life. You'll be like her. Although you have plenty, but actually you have nothing. No one is a Christian. We never face a situation like her. But maybe sometime we will have her. But we may have financial crisis that grow worse each day. We may have death of loved one, and we see no way that any good could ever come out. Or we see ever deepening depression that fills our heart. almighty hopelessness. Imagine any other thing that's like. There are times where life, even in Christian, it seems that it's hopeless. Moses felt that way in Exodus chapter 2. Jonah felt that way. The disciples, when they found themselves in the storm, they felt that way. Jacob felt that way when he was told that Joseph was dead. David too, he felt that way when the whole enemy rose up against him in Psalms 42. But truly, King Solomon knew exactly what it's like. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 11, "Then I look on all the works that my hand has wrought, and on the labor that I have labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Definitely there was no profit. Our life is a hopeless situation if we are without God. But God can use a hopeless situation into a blessed moment. In verse 9, you go back to chapter 7 in verse 9. "And rise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and then dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Wow, this is a very unusual kind of relationship. God is reaching out to Elijah. "Elijah, go to that widow." And widow is at Zarephath, a Gentile land. If you were Elijah, what would it be on your mind? "God, I think you make a mistake." No, God can use that widow. God is reaching out to that widow. "You know why I go to Zarephath? Lord, definitely not. Lord, definitely not." Elijah was made me think that way. Zarephath is the hometown of Queen Jezebel. And the whole town is filled with idol worshippers of the fertility god Baal. Elijah was a wanted man. Ahab was to go for him. Queen Jezebel, definitely. "Ha ha! He is in my town." But most importantly, the unlikely place, the unlikely person that God wants to establish that relationship. This Gentile's widow was trapped in sin. She was lost without hope of salvation. But God is reaching out. You know, many years later, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ mentioned her. But I tell you of a truth. Luke chapter 4, 25, 26. "Many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the whole land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent. Say unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a great prophet, Elijah, was sent to a widow." An unlikely person in an unlikely place. Very unusual relationship. God finds the clay for his will in unusual place. He takes that which no one else wants. He makes something glorious out of it. That's what he did with this poor widow. And that is what he has done with like us. We are but dumb, useless. But God can use it. We may be sitting in any church, Baptist church, accept God, I'm just useless. No, God will tell you, you are something. We are celebrating Christmas Day soon. What is the purpose of Christmas? Christ was born to die. Why did he do it? Because he loved you. You are precious. If not, you cannot give up heaven to come down to earth. Likewise, this widow, God said, I will use it. She will be a blessing to me. You too can be a blessing to your pastor. You too can be a blessing to your brethren in the church. Don't think you are useless. The little thing you have is just useful for the Lord. And I praise God for His saving grace, His love, especially for our lost sinners. And you see, when Elijah went there, he traveled under the promise that God has already gone ahead of him. God has, every time he does something, he's in front. He's never behind, he's in front. So, you see, in verse 9, Bible says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Before Elijah was in Jephthah, God had commanded that widow. The widow was born. When Elijah arrived in Jephthah, he saw the woman getting sick, and he speaks to him and asked for a drink of water. When she goes to get the water, he called to her and asked her to bring a morsel of bread. She tells her, she told him about the tale of wounds. She tells him of her poverty and her plan to cook. She shared one final meal. She's going to share the final meal. Elijah hears all this. The response is strange. Give me what you have left. Then after I have eaten, fix food for you and your son. Let me eat first. Strange, huh? Strange. Elijah knew exactly the problem of God. But how is God doing it? How God can perform that miracle? Actually, he didn't. That's why in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. I don't know God how going to work that out, but fear not. Rather so, it's so easy to say when I'm at the threshold of this difficulty, I cannot overcome. You say, fear not. Truly fear not. You see in verse 14, Elijah said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends a rain upon the earth. Elijah knew the rain has stopped because he prayed and asked God to stop it. In James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought fruit forth her fruit. You see, Elijah knew God had promised God will keep His word. If God has called you and asked you to do something, God will keep you. He will keep you safe. There will be danger in life, there will be difficulty in life, but He will keep you safe. And that is a promise. Elijah knew God could be trusted. But the widow listened, heard the command that Jehovah said this, Elijah got a man of God. She knew very little. And strangely, the response in verse 15. And she went and did accordingly. She didn't go to Elijah. Elijah, I think you make a mistake, Elijah. You know I'm going to die. What you are asking, I know your God is so great. God has commanded to feed you, but I'm not going to feed you. I'm going to die after that. She went, no complaint, did according to the saying of Elijah. Just she presented a humble present to the Lord. Lord, we want it like it. I wonder if she was filled with fear as she watched Elijah eat the last of her food. I wonder if she thought, well, there will be no last meal for us before we die. Lord, you want me to die from that? Regardless of fear and doubt, she accepted the promise of God. She did as God requested. Her faith is just like a faith of a mustard seed. Matthew 17:20. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. I don't know what impossible situation you are facing, or challenges you are facing. I don't know what you will be called on to face before you leave this world. I want you to know that God can be trusted. God definitely can be trusted. It's a God, it's a man, it's God of his year. What he says, he will do. By the way, when you face all these problems, the challenges, remember, he said he'll give you grace. No time to turn on it. You will look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he will meet every need arises in your life. Matthew 6:25-34. And he walk with you every step of the way. Hebrews 13:5. And he'll see you safely through the danger that comes against you. In Isaiah 43:2. He'll carry you when you no longer walk. Deuteronomy 33:27. He will use every pain, problem and pit of life to develop you and make you more like Jesus. Romans 8. Those promises and thousand many besides are given to people like us. Our duty is not to try and solve every puzzle in life. I know many of us try to solve puzzles in our life. Really, leave it to the Lord. Our duty is simply trust the Lord to keep His promise. If we can, but do that, we can face a hopeless situation in our life, knowing that our God controls, He reigns, and all will be done. It is well with my soul. When I go to the field, I thank God for the last choir, the choir that I led in Shalom. They sang a song. It is well, brother soul. It is well, brother soul. Don't worry, go. You may face challenges, go. See, in verse 15 to verse 16. You see, she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake of Elijah. We don't obey God. God honored his promise. God told Elijah they would be fed, and they were. And God was so good at his word in this situation. He will be as good as word in your situation well, as well. Sometimes we Christians, definitely, even pastors, traditional like us, sometimes we think we can, God, give me half of you, half of my heart to you, the other half I kept. Let me do something. No, God wants your own heart. I don't know how it all going to work. I do not know how God can settle our problem. You can imagine this woman, this widow, the fear that must have had as she approached the barrel, a little oil. I'm going to eat and die. Oh, maybe I'm not going to eat like you're going to eat. She wondered, right? She reached up to the barrel. Eat. Next meal, come. Oil, pour. Hey, some more. We think we're going to start it there. Or we think we're going to end our life there. No, God said, no. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to personally work wonders in this moment in your life. If God has called you, just do it. Don't worry about the future. There are a couple of quick thoughts I want to share before. Okay. Serving God from an empty barrel does more to fill my barrel than try to fill it myself. In other words, if I will forget about what I think I need and leave my care in the capable hand of God, He will take care of me. My duty is to faithfully serve Him, resting assurance that He will do what is right for missionary like me. People like, we like to plan things. It's good to plan. But learn to place our life in His head so that He plans for us. He should. I went to Xiamen. It's the same thing. I went to Guangzhou. It's the same thing. I have no plan. God has a better plan. That's just another quick thought here. My two sticks, my meal, and my oil will accomplish leader. But God can do wonders with what I leave in His hand. Okay. Just leave it to the Lord, He'll do wonders. You know, the two sticks is very important. Two sticks. Take the two sticks. Two sticks. One stick here. Two sticks here. You look what? What is it? Look at the one. So he can the widow Elijah and that son was sad 3 years. No limit. Here's the point. Two sticks. That's good enough, guys. The Bible in Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will answer thee. I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Two sticks aren't much. But in the hand of God, they are plenty. And I hope this today's message, simple message, open your heart, challenge you. Come, give up everything to the Lord. Don't give half, give everything. That widow woman gave everything. Put the meal last meal, she's not going to eat what Elijah will eat. But God gave her meal. God doesn't need a lot of work, a lot of planning. See, when He created heaven and earth, He just said it happened. All He's looking for us is a faith to place our stakes in His hand, our life in His hand. When we do, everything changes. Again here, just now you heard my testimony. I plan everything. I can fly for the Lord and do this and do this. Lord, you know, I just want your love. Not your ability, not anything that you have. It's just one life. Place your life in His hand, and you'll do wonders. Conclusion, a real story. This story I borrowed from another passage. A man called Chaplain Robinson. His name, first name was lost, and shared this true story about his grandmother in 1949. It was after World War II. And his GI was on the highway coming back. Okay. Hitchhiking home to their family was a custom. The problem, but this man, this Robinson, okay, was a man, the grandmother's blood, having a big problem with blood problem at the time. So they need some blood transfusion. But there's no blood in that area, the little town. Now, none of the family match the blood. Okay? So they need to ship the blood, then it's not feasible. So no wonder they will say, the last time, when you see grandma. Robinson's father left the hospital in tears, riding, said goodbye grandma, to grandmother. As he was riding along, then he saw a GI. Well, he hopped in, and this GI looked at Robinson's father. What happened? You're tearing. He said, my grandma, my mother, died of a blood problem. You have no doubt the blood. GMG.
Take out doctor, you're a doctor. You're an NS man, you know, tag and tell you your blood type and everything, your name on it. Take it out and place it. Yes. Robinson's father looked at that. And the GI said, let's turn back to the hospital. We never know how God will keep His promise. We will never know how you manifest His power, but we will know you'll do wonder. Just trust Him. Some impossible situation, some losing something, don't worry. If God has called you, don't worry about it. Okay? Whatever it is, it's like the widow's two sticks. In your hands, it won't amount too much. But in God's hand, they will become a miracle as He manifests His power to solve your so-called hopeless situation. That's a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your grace.